Being stuck in the past is like walking forward with your back towards where you're going and your eyes upon what you've left. What's the problem with that? You can't see life where you are at, and it robs you really of living, because when you're stuck in the past, you're not living, you're remembering. And typically you're remembering hurtful and painful memories. And it robs us of the life that God has for us. What's one of the major ways that we get stuck in the past? When we harbor unforgiveness and resentment. So, let's deal with it. A number of years ago, I was speaking at a parish mission. And when I speak in public settings, I have a little technique that I do. I'll let you in on a little secret. I scan the crowd and I look at the very beginning of my talk for smilers. And they become my anchor points during my talk. So every time I need a little encouragement, I look at the smiler and I see them smiling back. Usually there's always a couple smilers in the crowd. So when I began my talk, this one particular mission, I stood in front of people, began to speak, and I started scanning the crowd as I talked, looking for the smiler. But the problem was, there was a guy right in the middle, just a few pews in front of me, and he was a frowner. Not only was he a frowner, but my estimation was that he was a professional frowner. I would guess this gentleman was probably in his mid-80s, an older gentleman. He was sitting in the pew, his arms were crossed, his brow was down, and everything about his demeanor said, "My wife has dragged me here." He was not very happy to be at the parish mission. And he was such a good frowner, I just had to look. And I continued my talk that evening, and I have to say, he was a little distracting. And I tried not to look, but I just had to. And there he was, and he was frowning away. Well, at the end of the talk, I'm at the back of the church, and there was a line up to my table, and I was signing books. And so as people were coming to the table, I was chatting with him, and I noticed at the end of the line, the frowner. And he was at the end of the line, his arms were crossed, his foot was tapping on the ground, and he looked a little impatient, and I just had a feeling he didn't want a book signed. So finally, it was his turn, and he approached me, and let's just say he had some constructive criticism about my presentation, which was fine. And he was about to walk away, and then instead of letting him walk away, I asked him a question. I can't remember what I asked him, and I just got his attention again, and he came back. And I just started engaging him in conversation and asking him about his life. And as our conversation kind of progressed, I found him to be a very negative and pessimistic and angry person. I kind of felt sorry for him, because everything that he talked about was just negative, negative, negative. And as I continued to ask questions, he started sharing about his early childhood and how when he was a very young man, he lied about his age so that he could get into the army to defend his home country in the Second World War. And when he entered into active duty, he shared with me how he was captured right away and put into a prisoner of war camp, where he remained for the rest of the Second World War. And the more that he started sharing his experiences with me, the more angrier and angrier he got. And at the end of his sharing, he just glared at me. And he said, "They took the best years of my life from me." And I remember looking at him thinking, perhaps they took 4 or 5 years of your prime, but you gave them the rest of your life. He lived his life as though he was still in that prisoner of war camp, yet decades had passed. See, that's the power of unforgiveness that gets us stuck in the past. See, most people in life don't find themselves in the prisons that are constructed with concrete and barbed wire and fences Now, most people find themselves in a different type of prison, and it comes in the name of anger, rage, and unforgiveness. Where we have perhaps been sinned against, someone does something to us, and we react with an angry, bitter, and unforgiving heart, and as a result, we cage ourselves in to a prison. Why? So that we protect ourselves from getting hurt again, typically. But what's the problem with placing ourselves in this protection? What we think is protection, it turns out to be a prison because it pushes others out, and including God. Where there is unforgiveness in our life, it is a closed door for the grace of God to work in our lives. And so if we want to experience the life that God has for us, it requires that we examine those areas of our life that maybe are stuck in unforgiveness. Question to consider: is it possible you have placed yourself in a prison of unforgiveness? At the end of this video, take some quiet time and ask the Holy Spirit to show you. And hang in there. This is only part one of a 6-part video series. So right now, we just want to start thinking about this and allow the Holy Spirit to show us. If you've been blessed by this video, there's 2 things you can do. Number one, share this YouTube video on Facebook. Together, let's get the good news of our Catholic faith out. I'll produce the video, you share. And number 2, please consider becoming part of our Patreon team. Our Patreon team members support us on a monthly basis that allow us to produce these videos on a weekly basis. I'll put a link at the end of this video if you're interested.